This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the cafe. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ+ community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are very tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. Tell your next door neighbour, your friends, and even your dad to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
You are on Joy 94.9 with Macca and Paul. This is Saturday Magazine. Macca.
Thank you, Paul. Our next guest, or our first guest, actually, is Anna Brown. Anna is the CEO of Equality Australia. Good morning, Anna.
Good morning.
How are you going?
I'm good. I'm just, you know, warming up on my Saturday.
It is a bit chilly, but it's going to be a nice day, and it's going to be nearly 20 degrees, so something to look forward to. Look, I wanted to talk to you about the Victorian government has announced a new funding package, almost $9 million, which is going to support wellbeing services for our community. And I think one of the things I want to make clear here, this is, again, another bit of significant, another piece of significant support from the Victorian government for our community, something, you know, that we really acknowledge, and I want to get your thoughts on it, because really it's about leadership, but it's about leadership that's going to save lives, isn't it?
Absolutely. So I read about this during the week, and we had a look at the announcement. It's actually $45 million for the LGBTIQ plus community.
Oh, and that's right. Yes,
with a significant focus on mental health and wellbeing. So I mean, it's truly transformative, and I'd say life-saving investment in our communities. When you look at the $21 million that's going into the gender clinics and gender affirming care for trans people, and then also funding transgender community organisations that do wonderful work like Transcend and Transgender Victoria. I mean, this is an incredible package from that perspective. And then on top of that, you've got millions of dollars of funding. I think, I don't have it right in front of me, but it's $6.4 million, I think, for
yes.
Rainbow Door.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's a crucial service that only deserves to be expanded and strengthened. And that's for mental health and suicide prevention, but also issues like family violence and important referral pathways as well. So this is a really, I think, game-changing investment that will also look at mainstream services as well, and look at how can they better support LGBTI communities when they're delivering mental health services.
And I think, Anna, you know, particularly around the trans and gender diverse community, and I was at a dinner during the week, and this was one of the matters of discussion, and talks about, you know, you talked about the, you know, there is a growing waiting list for these support services for trans and gender diverse people. I heard that there was almost a waiting list of almost 200.
Yeah, I've been hearing reports on waiting list times too. So this is a much needed investment to obviously cut those waiting lists and provide support, not just to young people, but also adults through the Monash Centre, I understand, as well. So it's across the board. I mean, if you were a trans person or family the trans kid, I just don't know why you wouldn't be seriously thinking about moving to Victoria if you lived anywhere else. It's really remarkable and obviously much needed support for those communities.
Because it's, I think I'm right, there's a $21 million boost in funding for the Royal Children's Hospital and Monash Health's gender clinics. And also, you know, as you said, community-run organisations that support trans and gender diverse young people. And this is about mental health and wellbeing services, and you couldn't get a greater recognition of trans and gender diverse folk and support, you know, money talks at the end of the day. And, you know, $21 million as well as, you know, other areas are really, really significant, aren't they?
Absolutely. And when you know, like groups like Transcend that are helping parents to support their young people and young people themselves, we know that when trans young people are supported by their parents, they do so much better, and it's a really crucial factor in their health and well-being. So supporting groups like Transcend is absolutely vital. And then making sure they actually get access to the medical care they need when they need it. So I really hope those waiting times can reduce, and this really makes a difference to a very vulnerable group of Victorians when you consider that one in two trans young people attempt suicide. So yeah, it's really scandalously high statistic there.
Anna, hi, it's Paul here. It's a fantastic package, and it's great to see that the Victorian government is actually leading on an initiative like this. As a lobby group, how are you going to approach taking this forward and using this model with other
state
governments to try and bring them along on this journey in terms of the benefits that will be had for this investment to the community?
Yeah, well, as a national organisation really looking to support our communities across the country, we really think this is a wake-up call for the rest of Australia. We'll be talking to other governments across Australia and the federal government about making sure that LGBTIQ plus people aren't left behind, and that we have the support that we need in mental health, but also in health, you know, gender-affirming healthcare, and then across the board in policy areas. Because the great thing about what the Victorian government's done is that they've not only invested in our communities, in our culture through Midsummer and the Pride Centre, but also law reform to make sure that we don't face discrimination. There's still more to do, of course, in Victoria, and we're hoping that campaigns like the Raise Your Hand campaign around exemptions that religious schools use currently to lawfully discriminate against LGBT students and teachers, that we can see a shift in Victoria with some of those remaining areas of discrimination. But what we've seen in the past year is conversion therapy, or so-called therapy, banned in Victoria. We've seen birth certificate reform so that trans people of all ages can access ID documents that reflect the gender they live as. And that's life-saving and transformative as well. So we need that law reform and all of that investment that's happening in Victoria to be replicated across the country.
It does, and you know, I know that you know, other states, you know, have done work in this area, but they certainly haven't committed the funding support for these for organisations. And you know, I think, you know, we both know Martin Foley quite well, and he's been Minister for Equality now for 7 years. He must be, you often wonder, you know, how does he maintain his enthusiasm? Because it's so much work, isn't it, Anna? Like, he works so hard on this.
I know. I really do credit Minister Foley with so much of this progress and leadership. It doesn't mean we don't have more to do, and certainly it's, when you compare, you know, the funding received by our communities, particularly comparative to our poorer mental health outcomes, to the levels of funding that other areas and other communities receive, I think we're still behind. So we absolutely need to continue and strengthen all of the programmatic work across the government for our community, even in Victoria, where I think we are further ahead. And states like Tasmania and the ACT and even South Australia now, there's been some really positive law reform. There's been some funding and some community programs for our communities, but it absolutely needs more priority and attention. So my hope is that Victoria's example can inspire some, let's hope, some competitiveness and positive change across the country.
And, of course, you know, I also want to acknowledge Ro Allen, who's been in her role, I think, for, is it 6 years? And she's leaving that role as Commissioner for LGBTQI plus Communities to become the Commissioner of the Victorian Equal Opportunity Human Rights Commission. big gig, and Roe has worked tirelessly advocating to government, addressing needs, doing it in a very methodical, organised manner, you know, to secure funding for organisations of which Joy has, benefited. So I want to thank her as well, and wish her well in her new role. I just wanted to change tack a bit, Anna. Have you read the reports, Peter Dutton banning morning teas because he said Australian Defence Force should concentrate more on defence rather than becoming all woke, when they had a morning tea for Ida Hobbit Day. Any thoughts?
Well, look, I must admit I was reminded of his comments during the marriage equality campaign where he told the corporates to stick to their knitting. It seems to me that Minister Dutton's frequently out of step with where the rest of society is at on our issues and the need to support inclusion in the workplace. I mean, this is, again, it's just standard practice now in our workplaces, thankfully, that our communities are supported, and that means visible inclusion and celebrating who we are so that people feel like they can bring their whole selves to work. And I know people that work in the Defence Forces. I also know that our communities, you know, endured a time of serving where they couldn't be out or open about who they were or were disciplined and treated really quite appallingly if their sexuality or gender identity was discovered. Now, the Defence Forces have come a long way, and I think that absolutely needs to be celebrated. And the sort of mean-spirited comments by Minister Dutton really show how out of touch he is with the rest of the community and certainly with the need to support our communities. That's just the way, that's where Australia is at the moment, that we do celebrate and support LGBTIQ plus people, and it reflects the values that we all hold dear, like equality, fairness,
and Anna,
and letting people live their lives.
And Anna, don't you just agree, you know, the minister should have other more pressing matters to be giving his attention to rather than a topic like this where, you know, he really didn't have to make any statement at all. It just smacks of the fact, you know, he's trying to, you know, encourage a debate that doesn't need to be raised.
He's getting ready, Paul, to challenge for the leadership of the party should ScoMo lose the next election.
Mm. I know, but
he's marking out his
territory. He doesn't need to do it by bashing you know, our community, which is an appalling use of a ministerial privilege.
Anna, do we have? I know you've got your ear to the ground in Canberra quite a lot. Religious freedoms legislation. What's the latest info on that?
Yeah, well, obviously watching that very closely, deeply concerned about any movement on that front, because that religious discrimination bill, as it, you know, the last draft that everyone saw was a very concerning step backwards for us as a community. Thankfully, it remains on the back burner. We saw some movement earlier this year with Kevin Andrews making some comments about it sort of being live again. But let me assure you, Macca and Paul, that you know we're in Canberra.
Yes.
Every sitting week, we're talking to members of Parliament and ministers about the importance of supporting LGBTIQ plus people and not winding back all of the progress of the last 5 or 10 years. And, if the bill comes back on, we'll be there and ready to mount that really significant campaign to make sure that we stop it.
Yeah.
But at the moment, there's no sense that it's going to come back on for debate immediately. It remains an election commitment, so we have to remain vigilant and make sure that we're building support for laws that protect all of us equally, not takes backwards.
Well, of course, it was an election commitment by the Prime Minister to protect LGBTQI plus kids and staff in schools from discrimination. We haven't seen
that. Yes, that's That's the election commitment we'd prefer them to be focusing on, and certainly that's the point we make with the government at every possible opportunity. We need to remove these exemptions that allow discrimination against communities, not introduce laws that will give a licence to discriminate to religious institutions and people of faith.
Yeah. Okay. Look, we're out of time, Anna. Look, thank you again for your work. And, you know, being in Canberra every sitting week, I can't imagine just how gripping that is.
And Anna, maybe next time, Anna, you're on, it would be just good to get an understanding. Someone who's actually in the corridors of power quite a bit like you are, just to get your reflections on, is anything changing from a culture point of view? So maybe want to reflect on to next time, just to see actually, has anything actually, you know, is it manifesting itself in action, as it, or is it just rhetoric that we're hearing?
I mean, one comment I'd just make immediately is that last time we were in Canberra was just after the Women's March, and I attended that march, not in Canberra, but plenty of people in the AC obviously flew in to Canberra or bussed in and made a really strong statement about the importance of ending violence, particularly sexual violence against women and all forms of sexual violence. And it felt different in the building that week. The WA election had already also happened, and it really felt like that we were getting a hearing on our issues in a way that was tangibly different to you know, the business as usual approach. It was really quite positive, and we had a fantastic event with a young trans woman, Isabel, who's just so inspiring. I hope she'll be our first transgender member of parliament. And Ian Thorpe came with us as well. And we had, I think, record attendance, I'd say, at an event talking about the importance of equality, talking about the importance of supporting the mental health of our community. And we had senior members of government there. It was really, I think, you know, I'm always an optimist, and I'd like to think it really felt like things are changing.
Yeah.
That's great to hear, Anna.
You are always an optimist, Anna. I love that.
Anna, thank you ever so much for joining us this morning. And as always, you know, thank you for your advocacy. You do an amazing job at Equality Australia and the team you have there with you.
Yeah, and I hope you have a nice afternoon and evening. The weather looks great.
You too, and happy Pride March weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, Anna. Okay. Mac, I just want to pick up on a topic that you spoke about there. Peter Dutton, you're right, probably trying to make some waves about what happens next. But surely it cannot be good for any politician to exclude potential voters and therefore coming out and being negative on such topics, I'm sure, will give him some support in some areas. But surely if you're going for leadership, you need to make sure that you've got as many people in your camp as possible. And that cannot be right for him to be doing that.
If we asked Minister Dutton, he'd say no, he's not going for the leadership. He'd probably say no, we have a leader, we have Prime Minister, and I fully support the Prime Minister and blah blah blah, right? Okay. I believe that should Scott Morrison lose the next election, Peter Dutton is positioning himself to become opposition leader. That's my belief. And ask any political journalist in Canberra and they'll say, absolutely. So this is about, you know, him putting himself out there. You know, he's quoted today. For example, let me just bring this up because it's quite interesting.
And I get that, but what I don't understand is the fact that he would try and make sure that he specifically excludes, you know, potential voters. He's going to need all the support he can get. I mean, you know, he's got a track record of fairy decisions and submissions that he's made.
Well, you know, there's an article in the Fairfax today. Dutton says he threatened to quit cabinet unless Turnbull banned Huawei. He said it would be a red line for him if Huawei had involvement in the 5G network. Okay. Now, that's, you know, he's made that assessment or, you know, that statement. And he was, you know, the Minister for Home Affairs and obviously had access to all the security information that he could get to make that assessment. But why is he saying it now?
Exactly.
When was Malcolm Turnbull Prime Minister?
Exactly.
3 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? Same as, you know, why issue a press release that you've told Defence Force, Australian Defence Force, to stop going in being woke and having morning teas to recognise diversity within the Defence Forces? There's a reason. It's not just that, you know, and don't forget, Peter Dutton has a long history of...
upsetting people? Is that a fair thing to say?
Of not being very supportive of our community.
Not terribly inclusive.
And, you know, so...
There's a message that's come in there, like, from 952 that simply says, submarines.
Well, yes, submarines. Now, Mel asks, where is our smart Hellenic TAS today? He's actually having a day off, Mel. Look, I actually sent him a message earlier and he hasn't responded to it. So he's obviously out and about in the garden up at Galesford.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.